Welcome to the Schmooze with Rabbi Mintz, rabbi at Congregation Beth Israel and co-director of Chabad of Forsyth, Dawson, and Lumpkin with his wife, Chaya. The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at jewishforsyth.org. Now, let's get schmoozing with Rabbi Mintz and his co-host, Tim House, on North Georgia's News Talk, WDUN.
Hey, good morning, folks. Glad you joined us on the Schmooze. Tim House, Rabbi Levi Mintz is here again, and he's going to give us some good information this morning. Rabbi, how are you?
Oh, thank God, Tim. Doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Doing great. You know,
it's great to be together with you. We got Hanukkah in the air. What an amazing time.
And New Year's coming
those
on again.
Those donuts, those latkes.
Can't wait. And you know, you spoke about that last week. I like ketchup on my latkes.
Seriously? Ketchup?
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, I put hot sauce on there, but then it ruined me for the rest of the day.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, folks, we'd like to tell you a little about us real quick. We've got a busy, busy show this morning. We're motivated by a profound love for every Jew and spurred by boundless optimism. Congregation Beth Israel is dedicated to building community every day through a dazzling array of programs and services to serve the spiritual and physical needs of all Jews from all walks of life with unconditional love and acceptance. Folks, we need you. We want you. Please reach out to us at jewishforsyth.org or give us a call, 470-253-7111. Rabbi, what have you got this morning? I know there's a lot in the air.
Oh, my gosh, Hanukkah. A lot in the air. We got Hanukkah. We have the holiday season. It's an amazing time. And I feel like it's during these times where people feel the biggest void. There's so many presents. There's so much energy in the air. Yet it's usually during this time where people reflect on if or not they're happy.
Correct. Yeah, a lot of depression and anxiety this time of year where it shouldn't be.
Exactly. Because, you know, you're watching TV, you're listening to the music, and it seems like, you know, there's so much joy in the air. And people say, hey, is the whole world joyful? But in my heart, there's a void, there's an emptiness. What do I have to do to become so happy? What do I have to do to become filled with joy? And actually, it's during this time at the end of the year that the most people reflect on joy, on being happy. And I think that's why during this year, a lot of people want to make New Year's resolutions before the end of the year to hopefully have a happy 2020, to have a happy New Year. Because essentially, everyone wants to be happy. That's the reason why most of us do everything that we do. We're yearning for joy. We're yearning for happiness. And we make all of these decisions hoping that it'll bring us closer to being happy. And I got to tell you, Tim, I think a person needs to reflect that if they've been living their life for 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, and they're still searching for joy, maybe the answer of how to be happy they haven't heard yet. It's just doing the same thing over and over again. Wouldn't that be ridiculous? Wouldn't that be the definition of insanity?
I think that's what that is, yeah.
Of course. So we make the same resolution every year. It didn't make us happy last year. We're in the same place now. We're ready to make the resolution again. It didn't make us happy. Having more money didn't make us happy. Getting the new car didn't make us happy. Buying the new house didn't make us happy. Having more money in the bank also still didn't make us happy. What's going on? What is the answer? What is the answer to living a joyful life? Now, of course, there's two things. Just ridding the negative emotions doesn't make me happy, right? There's two things over here. The first thing is, of course, dealing with the things that make one sad. There's dealing with the things that fill us with negative emotions, right? If a person deals with the baggage of shame or the baggage of guilt or the baggage that's brought upon someone of pain and challenges, of course, step number one is that a person needs to find ways to deal with all of the negative emotions. A person needs to bring closure to that and put that aside. But even after someone deals with all of the negative emotions, and so to speak, all of the garbage, if we want to call it that, is out of the house, it doesn't mean that now the person is filled with joy. You could make a house empty and clean, but now you have to come inside and paint it. You got to put carpet. You have to put windows
furniture.
And furniture. You got to fill the house with things. So a person could push away all of the things that bring negative energy into someone's life, but that doesn't mean that now they're happy. Being happy is an emotion. It's a feeling, being joyful. And that's the big question. Towards the end of year, during the holiday season, all the gifts are on the table, all the geld has been given, but I'm still not happy. And my dear friends, we are so lucky that Judaism gives us the straight answer in how to live a joyful life. Could you imagine? It's one answer, one perspective, one idea, and it's this one thing that if we apply it to our lives, we will live happy lives. Judaism gives the answer because Judaism understands that life is not worth living sad. Life should be celebrated. Life should be filled with joy, right? We shouldn't be saying oy. We should be saying joy. We should be filled with happiness. And today, Tim, we will be discovering the one answer, the one perspective in how to live life joyfully. And that answer we'll get after the break.
Folks, we'll be right back again on the Edge of the Seat. Please join us.
Join Judah, the Hebrew school that's totally awesome. Judah offers Hebrew curriculum through experiential learning in a warm and inclusive setting. See holiday traditions brought to life through multi-sensory discovery. The passionate, energetic, and caring staff at Judah offer teaching that's innovative and fun. Find out more and become involved today at myjudah.org. That's myjudah.org. Judah, it's the Hebrew school that's totally awesome.
Hey, folks, glad you're joining us again this morning on The Smooze. We've got a lot to talk about. You heard the rabbi this morning, and he left us right on the edge of the seat. Rabbi, what is the one thing that will bring joy to our lives if we don't know it?
Exactly. What is the one thing? The one thing that can fill our lives with joy. Fill our lives with happiness, because at the end of the day, this is what we want. We live life once. Our life is filled with so many experiences, and all we want is that our life should be filled with a joy and with a happiness. And this is Judaism's answer. Judaism teaches that every moment of life can be animated and motivated by two feelings, by two energies. And these two energies are created by two souls that we all have inside us. There's one soul that motivates and animates one feeling, one experience of life. And there's another soul that motivates and animates another feeling, another experience of life. The first soul is called the natural soul or the animal soul. This soul, it motivates and it animates us to live selfishly, to live for ourselves, to live for our own personal pleasure, to live for our own self-aggrandizement. It's all about me serving me. The second soul that motivates us and animates us is called the divine soul or the godly soul. And it's this soul that animates and motivates our feelings of altruism, our feelings towards purpose, our feelings and being motivated towards mission. It's this energy that pushes us to be selfless, to live for others, to live for something greater, to have a connection and a relationship with the divine. That's why it's called the divine soul. And essentially, life is always one of these two experiences. It's either a selfish experience or a selfless experience. It's a self-centered, focused, pleasure, I moment, or it's a mission, purpose, other, God-focused. Every single moment of life, it's made up of these two experiences. And according to Judaism, this is all of life. It's which soul is in the driver's seat, which energy is driving my body, my life. Naturally, when we're born, we're born with the natural animal soul in the driver's seat. When we're born, we naturally are selfish. We naturally only care about ourselves. We naturally are only seeking self-pleasure, self-centeredness. But then we hope through education, we allow the divine soul to be nurtured. We allow the divine soul to be educated. We're one could start living life more selflessly, more of a life of altruism, focused on mission and on purpose. Now, here's the thing. Judaism's one answer to how to live life joyfully. The only way, according to live life joyfully, is only when the divine soul is engaged and the divine soul is motivating all the actions that we do. Whenever we live life in moments that are divine soul inspired, we will always be happy. But whatever we live life that is natural soul or animal soul inspired, it will never, period, bring us to joy and to happiness. When we live life focused on mission, purpose, other, altruism, God, the divine, it always leaves us with feelings of joy. But whenever we live life where it's focused on ourselves, on our selfishness, on our own pleasure, it never fills our tank. It always leaves us empty, craving for more, and therefore we don't have a feeling of joy. And I want to give you two reasons, Tim. I want to give you two reasons why the animal soul can never inspire joy. The first reason. Joy comes when we are fully expressive. When we are fully able to be completely ourselves, fully open, fully expressive. This is the ingredient for joy, right? Could you imagine living in a home where one spouse doesn't allow us to be ourselves? Not a happy marriage. Could you imagine a child that's not allowed to be self-expressive at home because the parents hold them down in really expressing themselves? Not a happy child. Imagine a student in a classroom that his or her questions are never listened to. The child, the student, is never able to be fully expressive. School will not be a happy or a joyful experience. The ingredient for joy is always being able to be fully expressive. We are made up of a body and a soul. We are made up of an animal soul, true, but also a divine soul. Living life just selfishly, just living life for self-pleasure, self-aggrandizement, living life that's only motivated by the animal soul and not allowing the divine soul to be expressed, we therefore can't fully express ourselves, and therefore we can never truly be happy. The second reason is because with the animal soul, it's just never enough. It's never enough. When life is all about self-pleasure, we always want more, right? We're uncomfortable on our drive to work. Okay, let's get a fancier car. What happens when we get that fancy car? It gets old so quickly, we need a different car.
Or a new one.
Or a new one. What happens when we say, I need my image to grow, so I need a bigger house or a better house. I need more bedroom. I need a bigger dining room, a bigger kitchen. Well, we buy it, and then we learn that there's bigger. And now we're not happy. We want a bigger house. There is no selfish experience in the world that one is ever fulfilled with. Every single selfish experience. By the way, it's not bad. Being selfish is not bad. A person could even do a good deed motivated by selfishness, right? A person could give charity for the honor that they'll receive. They'll be nice to a person because really they want to get something back, and that thing back might even be reward by God. But it's selfish. It's motivated by reward. There is no selfish experience that leaves the person feeling genuinely happy and content and joyful, because every animal soul motivated moment, selfish moment, you always want more. It's never enough. But let me give you two reasons why every single moment that is inspired by our divine soul, when we live life for others, live life selflessly, when we live life for purpose, for mission, for the divine, it always leaves us joyfully. Two reasons. Number one, when we are focused on the divine soul, all of a sudden that experience can be attained at every single moment, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what my conditions are, regardless of what's happening in my life. Because the divine soul, to live selflessly, to live a life of mission and purpose and focus, can happen always. And that brings us to the second reason. The divine soul always wants to live life in the present. Our selfish life is motivated by wanting to live in the past and the future. You know why the animal soul wants to live in the past and the future? Because it's easy to feel good or bad about the past, and it's easy to dream about the future. No one wants to live life now if all they care about is pleasure and comfort, because the now always demands action, hard work. The divine soul wants to live in the present. It wants to live in the now, because the divine soul, its actions are not about pleasure. That's not what motivates the divine soul. The divine soul is motivated by, what's my purpose? What's my mission? What needs to happen? It needs to happen. I'm in. So what's incredible about living life, where what we value more than anything is our divine soul, is living life selflessly for others, for purpose, for mission, for the divine, is that always, in any time, in any state, at every single moment, right here and right now, we could always be filled with joy. Look at Joseph. Joseph was in the prison. His circumstances were not comfortable, but he valued his divine soul. His life was all about, what does God want for me now? What's my mission? What's my purpose? What can I do for others? And this was his entire value system. Therefore, in jail, he motivated others. He helped others. He gave wisdom to others. He brought joy to others. And therefore, Joseph was able to find joy even in jail. Let me tell you a fascinating story. It's the famous story that the great Jew, Reb Mendel Futterfass, he was thrown into Siberia for many, many years because under the Soviet Union, it was forbidden to practice Judaism. And what did he do? He practiced Judaism. So in Siberia, there was two types of people. You had a lot of Jews that were there because they practiced religion. And you also had many, many wealthy business owners that the Soviet Union didn't like them for one reason. Could you imagine? You had a big business, you were making a lot of money, and then the Soviet Union came and started to make many regulations where, to the extent that all of their money essentially was taken away from them. So these people were constantly speaking out against the Soviet Union. So what did the Soviet Union do? Took them and put them into Siberia, into the gulags. So the story goes that one day, after many years, all of these wealthy former wealthy businessmen, look at Reb Mendel, this Jew, and says, how is it possible that you're so happy? How is it possible that you have so much joy in your life? Do you not see what's going on? We're in the gulags of Siberia. We have nothing. We have nothing. The pain, the cold, the work. And Reb Mendel said this to these gentlemen. He says, before you came to Siberia, what brought you happiness was how much money was in your bank. What brought you happiness was the type of house that you lived in, how comfortable your seat was. And now that you're in Siberia, you're sad, you're depressed. How can you be happy at this moment? But for me, my joy was always in the divine soul's joy. My joy was always in mission, purpose, others, selflessness. What can I do to fulfill my role? The reason why I was created, I can still do that today in Siberia. In Siberia, I have mission. I have purpose. I'm still able to be connected to the divine. And therefore, for me, nothing changed. I was happy then, and I can still be happy today. Let me tell you another fascinating story that drives this idea home. There were two Jews, two rabbis. They were both students of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. One was named Reb Zusha, and the other one was named Rebbe Elimelech. And one day they were both arrested again for practicing Judaism, and they were thrown into a jail, into a holding cell. In this holding cell, they were surrounded by many other people. They were promised that even though they were thrown into the holding cell, they would still be able to pray. When they came into the holding cell, they noticed that in the middle of the room, there was a waste bucket. And although this room was closed in, filled with many, many prisoners, there was one waste bucket in the middle of the room for everyone to tend to their needs. Could you imagine how awful that room smelled? So Rabbi Elimelech looks to his brother Reb Zusha and he starts crying. He says, look how horrible this is. Look what's going on. We were thrown into this room and we can't even pray, because the code of Jewish law says that when we're surrounded by such filth, especially the filth of a waste bucket, we can't pray holy words. And he looks at his brother and he starts crying, what to do? So Reb Zusha looks at his brother and he says, no, if it says in the code of Jewish law that you're not allowed to pray and serve God in a space of filth, then by us choosing not to pray in this space of waste and filth, we're actually fulfilling God's will. So let's be happy. Let's be joyful that we're around a bucket of waste and we're not going to pray and we're not going to serve God. And by us not doing it, this is how we're serving God. So Reb Zusha looks at his brother, Reb Elimelech looks at his brother, and he says, unbelievable. And they started singing and dancing around the bucket of filth, because look, by us not praying, we're serving God at this moment. So you could imagine all of the prisoners that were sitting around, and they were looking at these two Jews dancing in a prison cell. This is one thing they never saw. They literally jumped in and started dancing. No one's ever danced in a prison cell. Before you know it, they're singing and dancing in the middle of this cell around these two Jews that are joyful about the fact that it was around this situation that they're serving God. The soldiers come in. What's going on? What's all of the commotion? Why is everyone singing and dancing in jail? They all look at each other and say, we have no idea, but there are these two Jews that for some reason they're so excited. So they pushed their way through, and they asked the two Jews, and they said, what are you guys dancing about? So they said this, the bucket of waste. The soldier goes down, picks up the bucket of waste, and throws it out of the room. So Rabbi Elimelech looks at Reb Zusha, and he says, my dear brother, now we can pray.
Fantastic.
What's the message? The message behind all of these stories is that it's a question about what do we value? What do we love? And we can choose every moment how we choose to live our lives. We can choose to live a life that's focused on selfish things, our own pleasure, our own self-aggrandizement, or we can choose to live our life selflessly for others. You know, and it's an amazing thing. Try today, don't wait till tomorrow. Try today to call up a friend and say how much you appreciate them in your life. Be selfless. Today, find a way to be selfless and volunteer. See if there's someone in your world that needs some help. Maybe it's a meal. Maybe it's a hug. Maybe it's some support. Call up the synagogue and say, what one good deed can I do today to help a family in the community? And you'll see how joyful you will be. Right now, today, find a way to live a life of mission and purpose and be divine focused. Do one mitzvah today. See how it feels to kiss the mezuzah before you go to sleep. See how it feels to say a prayer. See how it feels to live life more focused on mission, on purpose in God. So of course, during this season, what are we focused on? We're focused on self-pleasure. We're focused on self-aggrandizement. How many gifts, how much money, how many tips, how many bonuses, how many great meals, how many good parties, how many good cups of scotch, how many good cups of tequila. These things are all fun, but it doesn't translate to joy. Fun and joy are different. We can have a lot of fun, but it doesn't make us joyful. It doesn't make us happy. So my dear friends, let the end of the year inspire us to make a paradigm shift. We all deserve to live a happy life. Judaism gives us one answer. Just change what we value. Live life more selflessly. Live life more mission, purpose, focused. Live life, what does God want from me today? Yes, it's a big deal. It's a big paradigm shift, but it's not all or nothing. Just take your first step today and try and live as many selfless moments every day that you can. So at least as many moments of your day will be filled with joy. We only live once, and the one thing we all deserve to have is joy, because when we're joyful, it's a different type of a life for us, for our kids, for our spouse, for our family, for our community, and for the world. So let's give ourselves the greatest gift this holiday season to make a resolution that 2020 will be a selfless year, because when 2020 is a year of altruism, it'll be a joyful year. And there's no better gift than making the commitment that next year will be a year filled with joy.
Folks, that's a great gift that we got this morning in the rabbi, and the positive message to look forward to next year as well. Rabbi, thank you. God bless.
Happy Hanukkah, and let's have an incredible, joyful 2020.
See you next year.
The Schmooze is a weekly show that infuses life into life. More than a conversation, it's a meaningful schmooze. To interact with the show or to become a sponsor, reach out at theschmooze@jewishforscience.org.